Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 101, recorded on Thursday, 7th of June, 2012. The one where Paul volunteers to write the next book. The XPages Extension Library authors join us to discuss the state of XPages, the awesome new book, how they wrote it, and even what might come next. All that and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. I am Stuart McIntyre and we are back for episode 101, the first of the new century. And as usual, I've got Darren Duke with me. Hi, Darren.
And it makes it easy to get the number right.
It does.
No retakes on this one.
Yeah, who'd have thought it? It's first episode in a while, and then he retakes. It was a good one last week, though, wasn't it, with Chris Miller?
It was very good, and thanks to Chris for doing such a great job, and hopefully everyone found it a bit amusing that we were the guests.
I certainly found it difficult, I'll tell you how much. It was amusing, but it was also very tricky being on the other side of the table. I wasn't sure I liked it that much.
Well, we get to be the bosses again this week. But it's been a good week. In honour of the Queen's 60th Jubilee, I bought an iPad.
Hey, you're rapidly becoming an Apple household.
I'm rapidly becoming a stack of Apple stuff in the corner.
And have you found a use for it yet?
That's debatable. Yeah, it's kind of useful. It's useful for stuff like Log Me In, where you don't really want to cart a laptop around, but you need to get into systems. You know, it struck me the other day, it might have been this morning when I was thinking about this, is someone needs to come up with a tablet that is an 11-inch tablet and a 7-inch tablet, and they disconnect and you reconnect, that company could make a killing.
Yeah, it could be interesting how you join the screens together, I should think.
Duct tape, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah, cunning idea. And then one thing, actually, just to quickly round up on last week that I didn't mention, what, you know, clearly enough, I think, is to say a big thank you to all the guests that have taken part in the 100 or so episodes. You know, this show would be nothing without the panel that we have each week. And it's fantastic we had. You did the numbers, didn't you? Something like 180 or so people on all those shows?
Yeah, it was a bit less than that, I think. It was 140-something.
Either way, a lot of people from around the community have taken part in Twill. It's fantastic that so many people are willing to come on each week. And actually, it's a good way to introduce a number of guests we have on this week. If everybody manages to arrive in the hour, we have a portion to this podcast, probably the biggest panel we've ever had outside of the live show. So let's kick off with Paul with us. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How about you and Darren?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you. Good to be back to work after the Jubilee celebrations. I guess you took part in those this weekend as well?
Yes, yeah, although the weather wasn't quite as good as we would have hoped.
Yeah, somewhat wet in the UK. Who'd have thought it? do you want to tell us who you work for and what you do?
I work for a business partner just southwest of London called Intex Systems Limited. And I'm the senior Domino developer, so I do everything to do with Domino, XPages, and a few other things as well.
Fantastic. And an IBM champion, of course.
Yes, yeah.
You have to mention that. It's compulsory.
Yes.
And another Paul, just to make things slightly confusing this week, we have Paul Hannon of IBM. Hi there, Paul.
Hey, Stuart. How are you?
Yeah,
and Darren, how's it going?
It's going really good, thank you. It's great to have you on the show. I'm trying to think, have you been on before? Is this your first time?
This is my first time here, yeah. And I know there's two Pauls on the show today, but I don't think there's any confusion over the accents.
Yes, the accent gives you away, Paul. So do you want to tell us where you're based?
Yeah,
maybe a bit more narrowed down than perhaps we can work out ourselves, and also what you do for IBM?
Yeah, as you said there, I work for IBM, and I work in the XPages runtime team. And here in Dublin. And I'm also, my main role here would be a test lead, would be my role. And I work alongside the developers, whom you might have heard about that book, mastering X pages. And so Martin Donnelly, I work with Tony McGuckin, Maury Heary, or not Maury, Maura Kyo. There's a lot of Maura's here. And I also work with Dan O'Connor. So, you know, all this, all the X pages developer and celebs, you wouldn't.
They are celebs too, yeah. Great guys from the X-Pages Labs. Okay, well, thanks for being on this week. It's great to have you with us. And lastly, for the moment, we have Tim Tripkiny. Hi there, Tim.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning to you. How's life in Atlanta?
It's quite pleasant.
Very good. Do you want to tell us who you work for?
I work for a business partner called GBS, a.k.a. Group Business Software. And My role has recently shifted, and so I've become sort of a generic X-Page guru within the organization for pretty much anything that we're doing with X-Pages. I have my fingers in that pie. So it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome. And you've got quite a big team of X-Pages folks there at GBS, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Awesome. And so doing lots of projects for customers, I'm sure. And you're also an IBM champion as well?
Yes.
Fantastic. A show of champions once again. Well, we're also due to have Declan and also Jeremy on the show as well, but they're not available just yet. So if they arrive, we'll drop them into the call, and I'm sure we'll explain all at the end of the podcast. So why don't we kick off with kind of a bit of a state of the union to beginners. So obviously all you guys are involved quite heavily in X-Pages. Do you want to start off? Maybe Tim. How do you see the kind of state of X-Pages these days? It was announced, what, about 3 years ago or so? Came out with Domino 8. I mean, do you see it as now taken over as the major way that people develop for Domino?
Definitely. There are a couple of ways that I personally measure that. In the sort of self-absorbed sense, my blog traffic has definitely increased measurably, even though my blogging frequency has decreased. So it's a very unscientific metric, of course, but on the occasion that I wander out to Google Analytics and take a look at what's going on, the trend has been very noticeable. Another metric is when I wander around and present at various lugs and such. Actually, it was really noticeable last year. The previous year, at the beginning of every session, I like to just get a show of hands. You know, how many of you at least have played with X-Pages? And the year before last, it was all, you know, every session it was about maybe 15% of the hands in the room. Last year, it was consistently about 80%. And one of my coworkers, Paul Calhoun, goes around and does a lot of X-Pages training. And he was telling me that at his last X-Pages boot camp that he was actually asking specifically about production usage of the X-Pages extension library. And he said that was about 80%. Wow. So if we're getting to the point that 80% of the attendees of an X-Pages training course are already using the extension library in production, then to me that signals that X-Pages itself has really taken off. People have taken the plunge and gotten used to, you know, the fact that it's not just a new design element. It really is a huge evolution in the way we write Domino applications to begin with.
And Paul, would you follow up in terms of what Tim just said? Do you see it kind of growing year on year in terms of popularity?
I think it is. I think I was actually still surprised to see quite a few people at Lotusphere who hadn't done any X pages, but certainly at the lugs, I'm seeing more and more people who've done lots of X pages. I think the sessions are tending to represent that. We seem to be seeing fewer of the beginner sessions and some of the more advanced sessions. which is good, because although there is a steep learning curve, I think even Tim would admit that you can still learn new things kind of 2 or 3 years into XPages development.
Well, I'm still learning stuff about formula language, so it's going to go on for a couple of years.
And I guess that's one of the challenges, isn't it? Is if you're having to move to more advanced topics, is how you then still keep some training or education available for those that are coming in afresh. Because, you know, there will still be people coming in effectively off the street, or, you know, moving from classic development towards XPages development and having to kind of pick up on some of those basics that perhaps, you know, many developers find kind of commonplace these days. And you know, Paul Hannon, you must deal with things from a kind of testing and support point of view. I mean, do you see people doing more advanced things with XPages now? We've obviously got the extension library. Do you find people doing more around the advanced things, like, you know, relational database access and that kind of thing?
Well, just from the other guys, it's XPages is definitely becoming more popular. We're getting different kind of questions coming into the lab that come directly to the lab, though I'm not sure I can mention exactly what name of the companies, but we're getting more questions about production and bringing apps into production now than we were, say, at this time last year, and more about, and we're getting a lot of queries on about, you know, best practices and everything around that, and how to set up a, you know, the app and your servers just for a production environment. So that's a great sign, also, like, you know, you can hear from other business partners too that they're fully engaged in developing XPages this year. And not just on, you know, proof of concept apps, but, you know, production ready apps. So, like, you know, I can see it building on year, and attraction is still very going up, and which is great to see. Moving on to, like, you know, using the new tools, like the relational data, like, you know, it depends on who you talk to and which companies are sensitive to that. Some companies are, like, you know, would pick up the extension library and take it straight from open in production, while others are sensitive and in that they would be not willing to take the risk, but, you know, unsupported. So they would take so they would wait until that so certain features would get in before they would start going down the line developing apps in for these using these features.
And I think the update pack has helped with that. You know, IBM were first, then business partners are historically second, then customers historically third in implementing the technologies. And while I don't think the extension library itself caused any problems on servers, I do have clients that have change request issues where they won't put anything on the servers that's not supported by the vendor. And I think the upgrade pack has solved almost all of them problems out of the gate as soon as we released. So kudos to IBM for that.
I think also if you look at somewhere like OpenNTF, there's a phenomenal amount of XPages resources being plowed into OpenNTF, not only custom controls and projects, but also on X snippets now. I've seen a number of tweets and I feel the same, that there's, to some extent, there's so much coming on there that it's difficult to keep up with it all.
Who are you telling?
And do any of you still do classic development, or have you completely shifted over to XPages now?
No, I still do some classic development, we have some customers that aren't yet on 8.5 for their production servers because of testing cycles that have to be gone through before upgrading. I think there are some companies that are still not quite on the XPages bandwagon yet. And there's also a lot of notes applications that are working that are just need some minor tweaks now and then, but the companies don't want yet to invest on moving them to XPages.
And I just want to shame any company that's not on 8.5, the Domino side, the server side. It has been out since December of 2008 and will be 4 years old in December. What are you waiting for?
Very fair point, Darren. I'm regularly amazed that customers don't keep up to date. And certainly when there's something as significant in terms of a shift as X-Pages in 8.5, it's even more unbelievable that people haven't upgraded to see some of those benefits.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, certainly I know of a customer that had a 100-day project for moving to 8.0. So to actually invest that time again to move up to 8.5, it's a big investment of time and money.
Yeah, I typically see that the customers will hang on to whatever release they're on until either, you know, 3 days before the end of life notice or, you know, 3 months afterwards. And then they'll upgrade to whatever the bleeding edge is at the time because they feel that as Paul just mentioned, any upgrade they view as this massive undertaking. Therefore, if we go from what we had to whatever is the newest on the block, then that pushes the date out further that we'll have to go through that pain again. As far as developing traditional or classic or whatever we want to call it, I personally haven't developed a full app that didn't primarily use X Pages in over 2 years. Obviously, Paul and I deal with different customer sets, but what I've been hearing within our company is that there's one project that I know of, and actually it's the last non X Pages app I wrote, is still under active development within our services team. Because we have this huge partnership with that customer, but they're already talking about here's our strategy for moving even that app to X Pages. All other services work I'm aware of is all X Pages. We don't have customers coming in asking for work unless they specifically want that app to be X Pages.
Which is really good news that people are pushing forward and doing more with the Domino platform. And I guess that's what IBM was hoping for when they announced X-Pages all those years ago, is to kind of reinvigorate development and make it more standards-based and web-based and so on in the future. Now, it's great to sit chatting here with you guys about X-Pages in general, but of course that there's a rather large and heavy reason for having you on the show this week. A full 635 pages, I think it is, of reason to have you on the show. 535 maybe. And that is the new X Pages Extension Library book. So who wants to kick us off on that? All three of you have been involved, as have been Declan and Jeremy as well. But who came up with the idea? Why did it come about?
Do you want me to take that?
Go on, you take it.
The story's been told so many times, it gets better with every telling.
The best kind of stories.
It's so amazing how it just got kicked off at Lotusford 2011. And, we kind of laugh at it now. We were laughing then, and we're still laughing about it now. But midway through last year, we were kind of saying to each other, not saying to each other, how did we get into this? It kicked off at Lotusford 2011. And, we were just, fooling around talking about, mastering X Pages, the first book, and how great it is. And really, for somebody like me, who kept trying to business partners and so forth, and now it's written down. Now you could just say, "Well, have you read chapter 16 on performance in mastering X Pages book?" But we were all very thrilled by it, and then Phil Ryan said something like, "Of course, this is only volume one, and this is on a Sunday night." It kind of went from there, and before we knew it, myself and Tim were talking to him on Tuesday night, I think, and.
And I'd been speaking to you on the Sunday night as well, got a kind of sneak preview about it. And as you do after a few beers round the pool, it was very easy to say yes.
There is your problem.
Well, see, I need to correct one element of the narrative as the legend has evolved. The first conversation that Paul and I had about it, we were both stone sober. Now, there were a couple drinks involved in the conversation with Phil, but yeah, it wasn't just the alcohol that made us think this was a good idea, and I'm really glad. Because the more people that got involved and the more excited we got about it, it just really developed momentum, and that carried us through, you know, all of the challenges that those of us that had never collaborated on a book before, you know, had really anticipated because we hadn't had that experience before.
And I think also out of Lotusphere 2011, out of the community, there came a lot of enthusiasm around X-Pages. There were a lot of X-Pages-related community activities that came out of there, not least the X-Pages forum. So it was a very vibrant time.
So this is a third of the three X-Pages books, Mastering X-Pages, the X-Pageable Portable Command Guide, and now the X-Pages Extension Library. I was looking back at them all the other day, and it occurred to me that you guys are by far the most distributed author group of the three books. So I guess that has some unique time zone and other kinds of issues. Do you want to kind of discuss how you went about getting the book on such a wide geographic dispersion together?
Dropbox. Sorry to give a one-word answer to that, but we had a Skype, ongoing Skype chat, and that really helped because, especially early on when it was all just philosophical and conceptual, we were able to, you know, coordinate time zones and have some actual, you know, conversations like we're doing now. But as the progress continued, the text of the chat was something that, you know, I could pop in and out whenever I was conscious, but you know, Hannah didn't need me to be to broadcast that information, but the actual book content we flung across the globe via Dropbox. So, for instance, there was one chapter that Jeremy and I were primarily collaborating on. So, you know, whenever I was awake and available, I'd, you know, add a paragraph and just, you know, I'd hit save and, you know, Dropbox's servers would say, okay, I got it. And then the next time Jeremy was online, those changes were instantly on his computer. So it was really invaluable. In retrospect, we probably could have used connections for something like that, but I don't know. It didn't seem to occur to us at the time.
I think if we had a social enabler out this time last year, we could have developed an application that would solve all that. You know, an X-Pages application. You know, something for files.
Build an application to host the book about the book. Oh, that just hurt my head.
And we could have used water cooler instead of Skype.
That's true. Took the words out of my mouth.
And so, looking at the book, obviously, Lotusphere 2011 was the birth of the book. But how long did it actually take from start to finish to write and get it collated to a point where you're like, okay, we've got a book, now we're at final editing? It's always struck me as a long process, and I have the patience of nobody, so I couldn't do what you guys do. So kudos to that. But what was the life cycle on the book?
Well, we started writing really in anger in last summer.
Is that metaphorical and literal?
Well, you can take it whatever you like. We were all signed up under contract last summer, and one of the first things they did at IBM Press after we signed the contracts is they did the front cover and Amazon. So when we saw it, the front cover up in Amazon, it says, "Oh, we should better do this." And so, like, it'll be, and we, I think we then, you know, we started writing about the extension library as it was then. And that was minus the mobile controls, minus the social enabler. The relational stuff didn't get in there yet. And what chapter have I missed? The REST services was just about coming in. So, like, you know, a whole big chunk of the book wasn't this out before Ludosphere 2012. And that didn't happen. But, you know, glad we didn't, because we were got all that extra stuff in there. But we had finished writing their first initial manuscript by Christmas, so which is a sizable effort, really, you know, for us all.
And I think the hard thing for guys that write books like this, and I've said this to the other two batches of authors too, is you're always trying to hit a moving target, and I think you've got to draw the line in the sand. And I was just looking back at the releases of Domino, and A53 shipped in 2011, so the extension library was sometime after that. So that was like you said, there was a big chunk of a book missing by the time you probably finished it the first time around.
Yeah, it was about December that the extension library shipped, so it was very much a moving target, because the control names were changing, some of the properties were changing to fit in with accessibility and improvements. So even after the initial drafts, there was quite a bit of rewrites, and even coming into the final production stages, something as basic as Lotus Live changing to IBM Smart Cloud for Social Business. That's, we've got a note at the front of the book, simply because to change that in all the places would have thrown all the pagination out. There were screenshots that would have been needed. So it was a case of a stake in the sand. And there's going to be future work as well on those kind of things.
And thankfully, yeah, we had been at least somewhat realistic about the nature of the moving target to begin with. So aside from those huge changes with, you know, as Paul mentioned, the things like the REST service and social enabler, it was really important that we at least get that in. But if memory serves, XPages just out of the box include 38 native controls. And the last time I actually counted, the extension library adds something like 105. I forget exactly how many controls it includes. So,
I think last count right. Includes complex controls.
So essentially, it quadruples the amount of controls that you have available to you. So obviously, we couldn't cover every property of every control to begin with. The book would be enormous. But also, you know, if we set that as a goal, then the book would never be finished. So, we set out to cover the most representative and the most useful in terms of things like return on investment. So one of the chapters that I spent a lot of time on was the application layout control, where it takes a very complex task of, oh, I want to make this application conform to the One UI standard, because that's what IBM is pushing, and it makes the apps look nice and all that. You can have an XPage app that actually looks like it belongs aside connections and so on. That's a very complex feat. And it turns it into something where you drag one control onto the page, you set a couple properties, and 5 minutes later, you're done. And you've defined the entire layout for your application. So we wanted to tackle things like that, you know, the REST services, the Dojo forms, stuff that is really representative, but also has a huge return on when you compare to trying to just create or duplicate that functionality yourself. That's where you really get the most bang for your buck in using the extension library.
And it's worth bearing in mind that even things like the Dojo controls actually extend what you can do with Dojo. So the Dojo dialog, for example, with the normal, something that you build yourself, you call it from client-side JavaScript and you close it with client-side JavaScript. With the extension library one, you can also open it and close it with server-side JavaScript. So it's not just reproducing those controls that you can drag and drop, it's adding functionality in as well. And it's not just the controls in the right-hand palette. There are also simple actions, data sources as well. So there's a whole lot that is included with the extension library.
And therefore, it must be quite hard to sort of define a scope in terms of how far down some of these paths you actually go, and still keep the book to a manageable size. And one of the questions I had is, with such a large team of authors, with five of you, how did you kind of allocate which topics each of you would take? And Jeremy Hodges joined us now. So, Jeremy, maybe you want to take that. How did you work out who took whichever technologies and subjects?
Well, basically, we started out really just kind of listing out all the different controls and grouping them together as far as what would go with what, and then just kind of went down the list and, where we had previous experience or expertise, we kind of picked off and raised our hands and, collectively decided, hey, here's a chapter that, Declan's going to do, here's a chapter that Jeremy will do, and just kind of went down the list. And after we got everything squared away from there, we picked up a couple of chapters that we wanted to add in there, like on the social enabler and the, SQL services and stuff like that. So we just kind of divvied up after that, who had experience and who wanted to do them. So it went actually surprisingly smooth for all that.
And did you review each other's chapters as well?
Yeah, we did actually. We reviewed each other's chapters. We actually, some of us even, wrote, parts for your other chapters, where maybe we were a little bit lighter on the experience, somebody stepped in and helped out, and it's where the group dynamic really helped out.
One of the questions I had is those that aren't IBMers, you guys must all be in design partner or beta program, so there must be a real tight path to walk between NDA topics that you can't talk about and the stuff that's out in the public arena. So how did you kind of handle that?
I don't think it was really too much of a problem because everything that we were going to be writing about was already out in the public domain. And it was just really the technical aspects of how the upgrade pack was going to be made available and deployed. And even that was already out and available by the time we'd anything kind of saw the light of day, really.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun editing, shoehorning stuff in. The editing was fun. I try to tell myself that.
The preface actually has an interesting story about how IBM came to the decision. And as a partner, and as you mentioned, I've had some interaction in the design partner program the whole time I've been at GBS and Lotus 9.1 prior to that. So I'm used to occasionally hearing, okay, this is what we have planned. Don't talk about it. And so it was fun reading the preface from that background and getting some insight into the mind of IBM, so to speak, in shifting from the you'll have it when it's ready to the open source model of, well, let's give them this and let them kick the tires and take sort of a survivor, vote off the island approach to what actually makes it into the product. And hinting at the fact that they would like to shift as much of the platform to that model as possible. Obviously, I could guess at certain pieces of it that will never shift to that model. Maybe some of the underlying security type, here's how we deal with cryptography and such. But I love the fact that the extension library was sort of a pilot for, well, what if we did move more of Domino into this? Well, let's open source it first, let people find out where the bugs are when there's little risk. But also what's the most useful, what are people willing to use at their own risk because it's so useful that they would rather deal with any bugginess than not have it at all.
And I think that was a very, very brave decision by IBM as well, actually. And not only that, but the level they've took, the OpenNTF contribution that IBM gives, is at a whole new level above and beyond what I think anybody would have ever expected. And I guess, Tim, what you're alluding to was it called Porus? I think was its name?
Sorry.
Porus was the
first
name for the extension library, yeah.
And so for IBM to do that, you know, is a vast departure from their normal, oh my God, it's got to be supported in 45 million languages plus some alien dialects. And I think it's led to the success of XPages and the extension library by doing that. And I'm hoping they're going to see that if they do that in other areas, I think the take-up will be almost identical.
And to be honest, while this wasn't necessarily one of my personal goals when I originally agreed to being part of the book, the more that we spent time and energy on writing the book, in parallel with how I was starting to witness increase in adoption of the extension library, it became a hope of mine that the publishing of the book would provide just one other type of legitimacy to the extension library, because the upgrade pack coming out, okay, now it's officially supported. I still have kind of a philosophical conflict with the phrase officially supported, because I see a lot of organizations use that as a cop-out. It's, oh, well, if we can file a PMR on it, then we're covered. Whereas, you know, once something is part of the product, like you mentioned, they got to make sure that it's not just language support, but it's also, have we adhered to all of our standards regarding things like accessibility and localization? Not just languages, but are we making sure that we're not discriminating against people with various disabilities and so forth in the way we write our code? So the open source model, especially in the early days, that it wasn't just that if somebody reported a bug, IBM would often fix it and distribute the fix the same day. But because it was out there on SVN, et cetera, I don't even remember how many fixes Nathan and I just submitted ourselves. Because we could look at the source and we could change the source and we could push it back upstream. So sometimes we'd be trying some control. We'd find something that was a little flaky. Oh, they forgot a hyphen. And so we would just add it and then commit it. And so there's some hyphen somewhere in the product now. You know, it's kind of a weird feeling, but it's also really cool that they were willing to take that approach. But now there's some of that inertia is lost specifically because it's part of the product. So in terms of support, I personally would rather have something that's fluid and flexible. So IBM isn't locked into, you know, oh, I'm trapped behind a wall of lawyers. Here's your fix, you know.
Well, I think it's a bit like the Ubuntu model, where they've got long-term support versions and they've got the latest and greatest. And I think that's a good amalgam of the two. What I will say is I think you're right about the cop-out. And customers never understand that just being able to issue a PMR does not mean you will get an SPR, and definitely does not mean you'll ever get that SPR fixed. So they do hide behind that a lot. And the bigger the company, the bigger that wall is. But, you know, some companies have maybe not legitimate reasons, but have documented reasons that they cannot use anything like that. And I think for companies like that, the upgrade pack and Ubuntu LTS is probably the better way to go.
Right. And so now that we have that, that's one layer of legitimacy. Okay, I can file the PMR, whether or not that ever means I get it fixed. But the other layer is that with the ability to deploy update sites via NSF now, we no longer have to ask an admin, okay, open up Windows Explorer and drag this jar file. So the admins don't think of this as sort of a use at your own risk. But also, the notion of the published book is starting to be eroded over time. And thankfully, we've got the ebook as a middle ground between that. But the reality is we're still in a world where, in terms of software, if there's some technology and I can't find any books on it, for a lot of people that raises questions about, well, is this even, you know? So, yeah. I've started to become really excited about the notion that, you know, yeah, there's a trilogy now. There's Mastering X Pages, and that's the chronicle of here's how you develop X Page apps. Then we have the Portable Command Guide, which really for me is more of a tool for admins to understand. It's, you know, this is kind of one of my dead horses or pet peeves is a lot of admins I interact with are awesome at supporting mail and don't know the first thing about supporting apps. Now, that's I'm sure that's a totally unrepresentative, you know, sample set.
You're going to get lynched now.
You're yeah. lucky we haven't got Declan on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I hate her.
But I love that the Portable Command Guide gives you, you know, all of the questions that I like to ask admins. You know, if I give you this app and I tell you this is what the users need in terms of performance, here's what to set in the INI. Or here's what to set in XSP.properties. Properties. But now we've got a book about the extension library too. So that's sort of just one other signal that it's arrived. You know, there's a book about it. So anyway, I'll shut up about that.
Well, now I think that the topic of why you guys have put this much work into writing a book that is a point in time, you know, paper-based document, it's really interesting because, you know, we all use wikis every day and we see the benefits of wikis, and yet there is most definitely a desire and a need and a willingness to write these books and have them sat on our bookshelves and, you know, and plonk down $60 or whatever it is for this book. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Is whatever the modern ways of reading documentation and having Kindles and all that kind of stuff, there's still something very pleasant and appealing and you know important about having a paper-based document that we can all refer to.
Well, we love tangibility.
Right. Well, every once in a while I will hear criticisms of the wiki. Not to use the term cop-out again, but lots of times when people are criticizing the documentation of X Pages or lack thereof, if somebody says, well, but the wiki, the response is often, well, but it's so unstructured. It's very flexible, obviously, so people are putting new content out every day. But that's very spontaneous, and it's very reactive. And so, like you said, the fact that a bunch of us were willing to spend so much time and energy, the result is something that was very well thought through. And something I enjoyed about the editorial process was we had technical editors who are people that, you know, probably most people listening to this have heard of, folks like Chris Tuohy, that could actually look at what we were writing and tell us, no, that's dead wrong. but then from IBM Press, we also had grammatical editors who, you know, if I screwed something up about how the control actually works, they wouldn't know. But they could tell me I was using the passive voice too much. And so it's stuff where from the very beginning, there was all this thought into, well, how do we actually structure the book? So, you know, from start to finish, there's consistency and there's a good flow. Instead of just being these isolated topics thrown out about the wiki. But then at the end, it was all the way down to, oh, well, this word should be plural. Or I think there's a missing comma here. So the level of attention paid to that and the level of detail really does exceed what you would get in sort of a spontaneous fluid model like a wiki.
And it also means that, as Tim says, is that consistency across so that my chapters, when I first wrote them, didn't have properties tables. Other chapters did. So properties tables were added in at a later date. So we've got a consistent approach throughout the book. And also the fact that it's an IBM press book, that it's something that's got IBM's name behind it, gives it a bit more legitimacy than something on a blog where it depends. Do you know that person? Do you trust that person? Have you built up that level of understanding of what that person has written is going to be good? Has it been through the validation of other people? Or is it just a first draft that just gets left and left and never progressed? So it's also got that completeness, hopefully, as well.
So Darren mentioned that we've got the trilogy now. We've got the Mastering X-Pages, the Portable Command Guide, Extension Library. Are there any other areas of X-Pages you think need a book to cover them properly?
Well,
there's at least one. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, there's there's quite a few books you could spin off these books that have come on. So, just mentioning best practices could be a book there, and performance another book there. Anybody who wants to take it up, feel free.
The one area that I think there's a huge potential is this trilogy provides you a great overview of what IBM has given us. But the only reason the extension library exists is because there is an extensibility API. So I've become fond of saying it's not the extension library, it's an extension library. It's an extension library that IBM wrote. I don't want to hawk our products in this context, but GBS has written our own extension library for a very specific purpose. Declan has written an extension library that his employer uses. So I would love for there to be a book all about here's how to write your own controls, make the platform your own. And as Paul mentioned earlier, it's not just controls, it's data sources, it's custom validators, converters, navigation rules, managed beans. So controls are actually, I'll just say, go out and look at the XSP starter kit, because if controls are the drop in the bucket of what you can write with the extensibility API, the XSP starter kit on OpenNTF is a great example of the whole bucket. And if you look at the summary page that Nathan, about this project, it reads like the table of contents of the next book I want to write. I'm not saying I'm gonna.
Sounded like a commitment then.
But I think that's a book that needs to exist so people realize.
And historically, what I will say is the second book you write looks to be a lot smaller than the first book you write, based on what Tony and Martin did on the first and second books.
Well, that might talk me into it then. But yeah, what is so exciting about X-Pages, especially with the advent of the extensibility API, is we can really make it our own. Because now if we have a pet peeve of, well, I love how this control behaves except for this one little thing. That I hate this one little thing about it. Well, extend that control and change that one little thing. Or
add a new property.
Right, exactly.
You don't have to come to IBM anymore.
Yes.
And Darren, as somebody who knows rather a lot more about Domino development than I do, although these things are relevant, relative, obviously, and as somebody who is independent to the book, with the exception of your mention in the acknowledgements, what's your point of view about this book? I mean, have you enjoyed reading it so far? I'm doubting you probably finished it, given it only arrived last week, but do you think it adds a lot to your understanding of X-Pages and the extension library?
It does. I think anyone starting to develop an X-Pages app from scratch shouldn't do it without the extension library or the upgrade pack, because it makes your life so much easier. But on the flip side, because a lot of it is open source, like Tim alluded to, wikis are a bit It's a bit like the movie Memento. You got to write bits down in your body and then go back and figure out where you saw it. Where the book allows you to pick it up, go straight to the section, okay, I'm interested in mobile. Yeah. How do I get started with mobile? And this book answers that question. And when you look at it, it's kind of I took a photograph of all three books plus Lady's X-Pages cheat sheet the other day. And what it struck me is this is the mommy bear, right? We've got the daddy bear, which is a thick 750, 790 page tome. We've got the little bear, which is the X-Pages the pocket companion. And then we've got this one right in the middle. And I think it just helps add a lot of layers of legitimacy, which has been echoed by Tim and the others. But it also allows someone just to pick it up, go and download the team room, and get it working in the way they want. And I think you cannot put a price on that. And 60 bucks is definitely worth it. And I don't see why anyone who's not interested in X-Pages or is even just still a Classic Notes developer, go get it and see what you can do if you put your mind to it. These guys have done a lot of work making it easy for you now. Now, secondarily to the extra book, it suddenly struck me the other day that there's a lot of controls on OpenNTF that are not IBM. They're not part of the extensional library. And there's almost so many, thanks to something we'll get on later about the development contest, but there's so many out there, it struck me that maybe someone wants to go back and create a book on the non-extension library controls that are out there and collate them into a point-in-time tome as well.
Yeah, that has been mentioned on Twitter this week. There's a few people. I think it's slightly more difficult because it depend those projects may be a bit more of a moving target. So I think
I think you volunteered for that, Paul.
I didn't. Well, I may have been ambiguous. I didn't mean to volunteer.
Even if that doesn't become a book, I hope it becomes a library. I actually, I don't know, maybe 6 months or I hope not a year ago, I actually created an empty project out on OpenNTF with the goal of, I was starting to see a lot of these controls put out there as an isolated, well, if you download this, you can include this feature in your app. Declan blogged just yesterday about the fact that we as a community are developing more and more custom controls using the custom control design element, but there's been very little activity of using the extensibility API to actually turn those into globally reusable controls. So I've been wanting, but just haven't had the time. So here's a call to anybody that's willing to take up that mantle. I will gladly add them as a project chef.
Paul Rivers.
Well, yes. I did put a project up, the mobile value picker, which is just custom control at the moment, but I would like to kind of turn that into a native control.
I will add you as a chef to that project today. So, yeah, I want to go back and fold some of those in so people can download. Okay, we've got the extension library with the open source version and the officially supported version. But let's have an OpenNTF extension library that is all community, and it's all these wonderful controls like Sirdar's, you know, rating control is really cool. Fold that into a library, so you put it on the server, and then any app can have these, you know, star based ratings that you see on pretty much any e-commerce site now.
And both of you mentioned OpenNTF, which is a really nice way to segue into something that Paul Withers and I have been involved in through our roles with OpenNTF, which is that the development contest, I think it's the third one, has now closed. Paul, I think you've had a look at some of the apps and so on that have been submitted. It certainly seems to be a really good range of controls and applications that have been put forward this time.
Yes, definitely, and some very imaginative and groundbreaking ones like I'm thinking particularly of Jesse Gallagher's JRuby implementation, which allows you to write Ruby within X-Pages. That's one that kind of stands out as very powerful. I know that David Leedy, I should mention him as he's my co-host on the XCast, but he's put an application up there that he's used for xpages.tv. There's a lot of very good controls. There's a Google Maps control. There's so much going up there that it's wonderful.
And in my capacity as resident namer of products, hint, hint, cough, cough, kudos, Adam Brown, I still haven't seen a check. Ruby with X pages should be called Rubik's.
Oh, I like it. And what's amazing about that project is that the foundation that he put in place is it's not just Ruby. That's the area that he's fleshed out the most because he has a lot of experience with Ruby. But the foundation of it is adding support for any language. So I think he's already started on something like 26 languages. So if you want, you can write PHP code in your X page, and then this will interpret it. This essentially the same way that SSGS gets interpreted into Java. So that if that project really matures, the implications are enormous because we're already seeing that adoption of X pages is accelerated by the fact that you can bring in just about any Java developer knows nothing about Domino, spend a couple weeks really bringing them up to speed on how to interact with Domino, but they're already, you know, they already know what they need to know to feel comfortable in X pages because it's JSF based. So the fact that then you could drop on this one extension and say, okay, well, you don't have a bunch of Java background, but you're an experienced PHP developer. So write your code as PHP and X pages will know how to deal with it.
I think that really expands the potential for X pages and the potential that instead of installing an Apache server, install an XWork server. You've got all the power of X pages, all the power of the extension library, all the power of PHP, and it's using everything that you already know.
And it wouldn't be Domino if we didn't have a choice of languages.
And Nicholas mentions in his blog post, which got linked from our show notes, 34 contributors, 18 first time, which again is a really good indication of the vibrancy of the X Pages development to the community at the moment. So fantastic. And just some items of news to finish off for this week. There's been some blog posts by Mark Shampoo, I think. I don't know how you would say his surname. I'm sure I've messed it up. It's in my normal way. But he's detailing the trials and tribulations of moving from on-premise notes to Office 365, which has certainly been a very interesting series of blog posts so far.
It is a comedy of errors, and it's actually quite amusing if it wasn't real life and people were being put through the ringer, where they're trying to move, you know, a couple of thousand people from Notes onto 365, and they're getting bills for licenses they can't use. Microsoft managed to destroy their environment. The consultants basically have no idea what's going on. It really is a lesson, and I think anyone that's been through this knows this is how these things happen. But this just, it looks like it was written for TV, honestly. It looks like it was written for IBM to be able to create a movie out of and show at Lotusphere. It is that much of a problem just moving platforms for these guys. It's painful for them. It's sad to see them going through this. But anyone who is looking to do a migration anywhere from any two platforms, go read Mark's blog. It's linked in the show notes, and it's a lesson in the real life of a conversion. And this is a reasonably small one as well.
And the other post I was going to point to just quickly is the Ed Brill blog this week about some training that Jess Stratton has done in combination with lynda.com. That's lynda.com, which is training for Notes users and looks to be really nice, appealing, graphical, and relatively low-cost training that users can go through. Companies obviously buy that for their users and train them well on the Notes system. It seems to me it's amazing this hasn't been done before now. It sounds like there's quite a demand for Notes training, and you can almost imagine it being rolled out to cover other topics like, for example, X pages or connections quicker and so on. So it seems to be a pretty good indication that there's still a demand for Lotus based training.
It was probably about a year ago, I think the request went out through people who know people on Linda's behalf, and it was basically they had big customers asking them for this. And we're not really going to take Lynda seriously inside of their corporations until they add the Lotus Notes piece. So I actually think this was originally customer-driven, if the rumors of the rumors are to be held true.
Well, it's really great it's out there, and it'd be interesting to see how it does now it's all available, and whether customers go through and buy that for their users. So tremendous. As ever, we will finish with our tips. So Darren, why don't you kick us off?
So in proof of our customers that I always screw up my own environment before I touch yours, it was password change day yesterday, thanks to LinkedIn. Great stuff, LinkedIn. Go do it. Yes, you got hacked. So for some reason, when we first installed Traveler, we just copied a configuration from an existing server that had internet password lockout turned on. And yesterday I changed my web password, and Traveler goes and checks the server every couple of minutes. And instantly, all of my devices got locked out, even though I hadn't changed the password on them. So if you're using Traveler and you're using password in net lockout, make sure you know what outcome is going to happen when your users change their web passwords, and the outcome is utter chaos.
The interesting thing is I had exactly the same happen with our environment too, so you're not alone, Darren. Funny stuff. And Paul Withers, do you have a tip for us?
Yes, another one that can cause a lot of headaches, but not quite as many as Darren's. And it ties in with the topic of today's podcast, which is the extension library. Simply that, bear in mind that every time you build an application in Domino Designer, it's looking for any extension libraries, any other external code, so jar files that are added in there. And if they aren't there, then it may not throw errors to the errors panel. Certainly with the extension library, if you don't have that there, it doesn't throw an error to the errors panel. The only way of seeing it is if you go into the application properties and on the advanced tab, you see a little warning triangle saying that the extension library isn't installed. And all that you see, or rather your users see, is they just see server-side JavaScript and no fields where there should be the extension library. So just make sure that every PC that you're going to work on, that if you're going to work on one that isn't your own, that it's got everything that you need on there. And it's also a very good reason, if there weren't enough already, to switch build automatically off in Domino Designer, which I'm sure my fellow authors would definitely echo about.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. And the other Paul, do you have a tip for us?
Yeah, some advice, really. Don't be afraid to start building XPages mobile applications. I know that you might think that you'd be afraid to do it, and it might seem difficult, but they are really, really easy with the XPages mobile controls. I prefer building them than regular XPages applications, actually. So, they're that easy, really. So just jump in.
And of course, there's a fantastic book you could read that would help you with that, too. And Tim, what's your tip?
I actually have a gadget tip. Darren, since you have an iPad now, you might like this, especially since you mentioned the LogMeIn app. Targus has an iPad case now called the VersaView, which basically turns your iPad into a netbook because it's got a Bluetooth keyboard that's molded into the case itself. So I've actually done a surprising amount of XPage development from my iPad because my blog server here at home is a 24 gig beast. So I've got the server itself is running Linux, but I've got a Windows VM that I've allocated 8 gig of RAM to. And so a lot of times if I'm coding at home, it's just with the iPad using LogMeIn to connect to that VM and the VersaView to do all the typing.
Fantastic. I can also recommend the ViewScape as well, which is from Targus. I have a couple of those for my iPads. They're really, really good cases. So excellent tip. Thank you very much. And Jeremy, do you have a tip?
Yeah, one of the great things about the extension library and all the associated code is that it's all open source, and you can use the components, but you can learn a lot from them. So get out there, download the source, dig into it. If you want to start building your own
libraries and components. You know, download the XPages SDK for Eclipse off of OpenNTF and, you know, the XPages starter kit, and just dive in. There's a lot of great code, a lot of great examples out there, and you can learn a lot just by looking at, you know, how does IBM write this code? How do, you know, guys like Tim and Nathan write code? And there's a lot to learn there, and you can really, really expand your horizons in XPages and Java development just by, you know, taking some time to read through the source.
Awesome. Great tips. Thank you very much, guys. And my tip is one that I've been meaning to blog for a long while, so I'll have to put it on the blog before this episode goes out. And that's that you can make your iNotes environment match much more closely your connections or One UI apps using a little notes.ne parameter called iNotes WA portfolio theme. And you set that to one, and it will basically make your iNotes look much closer to the One UI theme that you have in Connections 301 today. And they're also taking that forward for Connections 4 as well. So there'll be a similar notes.ne parameter in 8.5.4 to make that match with Connections 4. Really easy setting to set. You probably will also want to create an iNotes extension form so you can customize the masthead to include links to, for example, profiles and communities and so on, all within iNotes. But it's a great way to really coordinate iNotes in with the rest of your notes stack. Your Lotus stack. So give that a try. I haven't seen that blogged anywhere else, but if you haven't heard about it, do give it a try. It's a really good good way to make it work.
And with the point releases coming out, be sure to add TFM.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of our show. Let's quickly go around the table and find out how do people find you online. So, Darren, kick us off.
blog.darrenduke.net for all things technical related, and Darren Duke, all one word, where I suddenly told the word I've got a desire to listen to Level 42, so now I've got to go and find Running in the Family and Lessons in Love.
That's very worrying, Darren. Level 42, that's a while ago. And Paul Withers, how do people find you?
My blog is www.intech.co.uk/blog, and that's Intech with just INTEC. And my Twitter is Paul S. Withers.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Paul, how do people find you?
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter. PD Hannon is the easiest way to get me. That's the only real social space that I'm really active on. I've tried to get into the others, really, but I'm just not doing too well on those. But Twitter is the best one to get me on. I have no blog at the moment, but that's another story.
And Paul, you're going to be presenting, I think, at Social Connections as well.
One of the team is, and it's not me.
I thought you'd be volunteered for that. No, well, what I was going to say is there's a really good X-Pages session which is on the agenda for Social Connections. So even if you don't think you want to know very much more about Connections, you're an X-Pages guru, that there's definitely ways in which you can integrate those two things together, and there's a really good session that is it Tony McGuckin and Martin?
Tony McGuckin and Martin will be doing a social enabler session there with Connections and the X-Pages extension library. So that should be great. And I'm looking forward to the day, because I don't have far to travel. I've got about 50 or 25 meters to go to the traveling expense. I can't expense it, but it should be great. Looking forward to it.
And a free lunch.
Shoe leather. That's what you need to expense.
And I'm going to be there as well.
Indeed. Yeah. Looking forward to you being there as well, Paul. Fantastic. And Tim, how do people find you?
I'm just sort of Tim Tripconi everywhere. So Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Skype. And of course, timtripconi.com is my blog.
Fantastic. And Jeremy?
Twitter is Jeremy Hodge, and I blog usually on hodgeblog.com, HODGEBLOGE, or occasionally on the xpagesblog.com as well.
Awesome. And guys, huge kudos to you for your work on the Extension Library book. It's a fantastic read. Well recommended. We'll have links in the show notes for anybody who wants to go ahead and buy that. And I do recommend it to everybody who listens to this podcast. So great work. Thank you very much. And thanks for taking part today as well. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre and on the blog at blog.collaborationmatters.com. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.